still giving my special thanks to every family member here at Celebrate for the great opportunity that I've been granted to speak to you. I bring you greetings from my beautiful wife, Stella. Her birthday is coming up this very month. I'm sorry I will not be around, but I have to take her for honeymoon anyway. I'm so thankful once more time for great friends that came alongside to help children. In this family, there are some children sponsors. We honor you. Thank you so much for helping little kids with us. And I just want to thank you again for what we've been able to achieve over these years. To us, it's a praise report. When we see the school kids smiling, and it's a praise report. When we look at the local churches being planted, it's a praise report. And I've come to discover that everything we do behind it is the completion of the Great Commission. He told us to go and preach the gospel so that many may come to his saving knowledge. Amen. And this morning, something the Lord put a message on my heart, and please just be patient with me if I step on your toes a little bit, if I shout maybe. I'm your friend from another mother anyway. Let's stand on our feet, all of us, as we honor the reading of Scripture from the book of Nehemiah. I request you to stand on your feet. Thank you. If you can, we are reading Nehemiah chapter 1, all of us, if we have it on the screen. Okay? My way we go together, right? Here we go. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who survived the exile are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You can stop there, go to chapter 2. Again, the first five verses. Are we there? Here we go. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. So the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid. But I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is it you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven, verse 5, and answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." Now, gave us verse 17 and 18, the same chapter. Then I say to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be a disgrace." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the reading of Scripture. Even as I approach this hour, Holy Spirit, I pray that you take control in everything I'm going to do in this place, that your name alone shall be glorified. And when the message is over, close my mouth. Let the church be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can take your seat. In Uganda, I always sing with my kids. One of the common songs is, "We are gathering together unto him. We are gathering together unto him. We clap our hands. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We are gathering together unto him. I strongly believe that this morning God has summoned us here for such a time like this. It's not a coincidence. Whether you were invited or somebody told you, I believe the Holy Spirit drew you to this assembly today. And way back in the Old Testament, the priest would blow the shofar and people would assemble at the tent of meeting. And there was always a reason and purpose as to why people gathered. Probably they came to receive instruction from the Lord. Maybe to receive direction to what the Lord wants them to know. And I believe today the Lord will let you know what he wants you to know. My message is a call to the wall. A call to the wall. I believe when God raised Nehemiah with such passion in his heart, he called everybody to assemble at the wall. And this is my prayer, that may the Lord, the Holy Spirit, bring fresh understanding to the wall where he has called you to. Because I hear it strong in my spirit, there is a call to the wall. Of course, people have been there, but as they station there, he will speak to them clearly. Some people dream of making a difference, but others stay awake to make the dream become a reality. Would you be one of them that would stay awake to make the dream become a reality? And may you every day discover the purpose and reason as to why God has positioned you in this place. Because I believe you're not here by accident. You would be somewhere else. There would be nicer places. Maybe nicer speakers more than me from Uganda. But the question would be, Lord, why am I sitting under the voice of the black man all the way? But anyway, he's the God of nations. Amen. God's will for your life is to know where he has positioned you and your place of assignment. God's will for each one of us here is to know where he has positioned us and to know the assignment. And that's very important, to know the assignment. God doesn't make mistakes. He put me in Uganda for a reason. English is little in me, but my interest is not to stay in the United States. I want to live in Africa because I know in Masaka, in that village, that's where God has positioned me to purpose. That's my place of assignment. Amen. From the book of Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 17, verse 26 and 27. Acts 17, verse 26. The Bible says, we go together. From one man, he made all nations. From Adam, he made even the black man there. That is for me also. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Verse 27, God did this, now hear what Amplified says, and he made from one common origin, one source, one blood, all nations of men to settle on the face of the earth, having definitely determined their allotted periods of time and the fixed boundaries of their habitation, their settlements, their lands, their abodes. Do you know what? God positions us in specific places for a reason. And something worrying me, he has set a time
of your habitation, a time you cannot skip. And he has even fixed the boundaries. He puts you in Knoxville for such a time. He fixed my boundaries in Masaka. But he has appointed my time. Everybody say my time. My time of habitation. You don't know how long you will live. I'm coming to 50 years. I thought I was beating him, but he beat me by 4 months. In my country, life expectancy is 45. I skipped the line already. Thank God. I think I will make it to 60. I don't know. Now, we don't know how long we will live. This is why Jesus said in John 9, 3, we must do the works of him who called us when it's still day. Time will come when we cannot work. Are we together? And friends, I know at the offset of celebrate, many are not here. I know many have gone and many have come. That's how life is. People come and go. But the question would be, in my time of habitation in that place, how did I benefit the kingdom? Because I know, church, you are here for a specific time. Amen. We don't know where you will be tomorrow. But as long as you are here, would you seize the kairos? That's a Greek word. It means the opportune time. God knew that you should be present at this time so that you may purpose him. Amen. And do you know what? Positioning is very important. When God positions in a place, he has provided everything you ever need in life. He told Elijah in chapter 17, 1 Kings, go and hide at the brook Cherith. Stay there. I've commanded the ravens to feed you. Elijah didn't question, how would the ravens feed me? How would they bring sausages and burgers and chicken? How? But he just went and positioned himself at the brook. In the morning, they came. They brought, oh, meat. Oh, cornbread. I love cornbread anyway. He was able to feed for several days because he was in the place where God positioned him. God is mindful of the places. He told Abraham, leave your country. Go to the land that I will show you. What am I driving at? You are not here by accident. You are here for such a time like this. Let me preach as if I'm in Uganda. Say, I am here for such a time like this. Guess what? This is the best time. This is your prime time here. Use that time effectively. Glory be to God. And the Bible says, they that are planted in the house of the Lord, it's important to be planted. There are people that are planted and uprooted. Planted and uprooted. You cannot be everywhere. Tell your neighbor, you cannot be everywhere. Boy, you've got to choose one place and say, I want to settle here now. I want to be planted here. I'm a farmer, a little farmer, with my hand hole in Uganda. But when you plant and uproot, it will not come to fruition. Do you want to arrive to God's destiny and purpose in your life? Stay in one place. If I was preaching in Masaka, they would clap for me. Thank you. And a question will be, Samuel, how do I know that this is the place where God wants me to be? How do I know? Let me tell you, you have the witness in your heart. That place is full of love. Is there love? Is there peace? Is there acceptance in that place? There would be some triggers. I mean, some guiding lights. I wrote them down here. Do you feel peace? Do you feel loved? Is there the joy? Is there acceptance? Is your life flourishing in that place? At one time, I told my people in Masaka that if you feel you're not flourishing, you are in the wrong place. Because in this place, you must flourish. Yes. Your marriage has to be built up. Your life has to be built up. Your business has to prosper. Because you are in the right place. When Naomi went to a wrong place, she lost the husband, she lost the children, she lost everything. And by the time she came back, she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." She left the place. If I were you, I would say, "I'm not going anywhere. This is the place where God has positioned me." Amen. Now, the big question will be, what are you doing in the place God has positioned you? One of the prayers we want to make today is, "Lord, I know, I have no doubt in my heart, this is where you have placed me. What do you want me to do for you in this place? What ministry do you want me to be involved with?" Amen. Let's get back to the main purpose of my preaching today. Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah is a guy that was serving a different king in another place, in Shushan. He was serving a king somewhere. And the news came to Nehemiah. They told his brother Hanani and some of the folks came and told him, "Hey boy, you're here enjoying life, but you've got to know where you come from." He said, "What? Where you come from? The wall has been broken down and the gates are burned with fire." Do you know what? A city's security was the wall in those days. When Nehemiah heard, "Oh, a place where he came from, the wall broken down," the Bible says, "I sat down." It was too much for him to bear. He sat down. He cried. He mourned. He fasted. He prayed. Why? The place where he comes from. East to west. Home is always the best. When I arrive home, I say, "Home, sweet home." Each one of us must be concerned to the place where you come from. That's why some of you folks prayed for America. Congratulations for the elections anyway. Now, there are two families on earth. You have the physical family. Those are your relatives, your nephews, your aunties, your whatever. And we have the spiritual family. Of these two, one can separate at death. The other will never separate. Much as we are concerned much more about where we come from, be concerned much more about your spiritual place. Your spiritual place is your church. We will meet our brother who went to be with the Lord one day. We will meet. I will meet my mother who went to be with the Lord in 2003 at a younger age. Amen. The Lord is calling us to be so concerned, like Nehemiah. He was driven because of the place where he comes from. I want to drive a question to you. Are you really taken up, driven? Are you moved with zeal and passion concerning your church? Men and women that are driven with passion and zeal for their church, they will show up at any meeting. They will be there. We have a prayer meeting, they will be there. Sunday morning, they will be there. Why? Something is in them. Passionate about the assembly, passionate about the church. This is the reason why people give. They don't give because they're targeting anything, because they love their church. This is why people stand to serve, maybe on a voluntary team or whatever. They stand because they love. Nehemiah was moved by the place where he comes from. And because of that place, he cried, he mourned, he fasted. And guess what happened? He went to serve the king. As he was serving the king a cup of wine, the king looked straight into his face and said, "Hey boy, you are not sick. Oh, this has to be sadness of heart." And Nehemiah says, "How can I be happy when the place where I come from lies in ruins? The gates have been burned. The walls have been broken. Can I go and do something about it?" And Nehemiah was given permission to go back and rebuild. This is what I hear the Holy Spirit saying. Every man and woman, the Lord has called you to be a builder of his house. And you know very well, we are a spiritual house. being built together. Each one of you is a brick, and each one of you is a builder. And God has positioned you here to do something about his house. Praise God. He sat down, and then verse 17, let me say this. See how Nehemiah was touched. It takes men and women that are moved within their spirit to accomplish great things for the kingdom. For example, there will be people here feeling touched for Uganda. Why? That's what they feel in their heart. They will do great things because God is leading them. We go to Haiti. Why? Because there is that drive within us. We must do something about it. We can't just keep quiet. We can do something. This is the same heart that has caused the Celebrate to touch 5 villages. It has to be the heart of Christ that we can do something about it. And when Nehemiah was moved, he went and rebuilt the wall. The Bible says when he went back, he took his donkey and toward the wall, he saw the devastation, how everything had fallen apart. And then in verse 17, Nehemiah 2:17, he calls his brethren, come, do you see the situation we are in? Come and we rebuild. Celebrate. Do you think everybody in Knoxville knows Jesus Christ? No. We can do something about it. That's why we reach out to the younger people. We reach out to the old. We reach out to every people group. Why? We want them to know we can do something about it. We can't keep quiet. Praise God. And he called his brothers. See the situation we are in. Come and we build the wall. This is what I feel in my spirit. The Lord is calling you once again. Every feeble hand and knees that give way to be strengthened to what God has called us to do in this place. I want you to trouble Pastor Andrew, trouble him. What does the Lord want us to do as a church? He will say, go and invite your friends to come and fill up the house. What if there are nowhere to sit? We shall break the walls or make 3 services a Sunday. Praise God. Anyway, Nehemiah talks to his brothers and he says, come, let us build. This is my prayer, Celebrate. As you get positioned in the right place, there is an assignment to be done. And the Lord is calling us, come, and we build. And all of them told him, we will build. Together we can do something for God in this place. We can change Knoxville upside down for Christ. We can be his presence in the communities where we serve. Last time when I was here, the Holy Spirit nagged me to let you know that God is looking for they that will carry his love to they that haven't known him. And he was saying, whom will I send? Who will go for us? Praise God. Nehemiah saw the need. He discovered the purpose to be accomplished. As you commune here, do you see need? Amen. Praise God. And as I draw to the close, there are people here that have committed their life to serve God in this place. This is an encouragement to you. The Lord sees your sacrifice and your commitment. Keep doing that which you feel in your heart God has called you to do. To every volunteer, to every minister, you are doing great for the kingdom. Keep on doing with a new zeal and momentum, knowing that God has positioned you here for such a time like this. And to someone else that you're not sure whether this is the place, the Holy Spirit will confirm to you that you're in the right place, where I want you to flourish, where I want you to serve me, where I want you to prosper in my kingdom. And there's another group here. You have not been involved in anything in the ministry. The Holy Spirit is reminding us, know your place of assignment, where he has positioned you, and would you praise the Lord, what do you want me to do? Possibly he will send you to the nation. This church is going to be a sending network. It's going to send missionaries out. I know. Probably. Can we pray together? We're going to stand on our feet a little bit, if you're strong enough. Are you okay? And I want to minister, ask my brother Matt. There is a song you sang last. I wish if you would repeat it, I request, where we say, I give my all. Do you remember the song you sang last?
Before you came?
Yeah. That one, yeah. So I want to pray before I finish. And I want to pray for everyone that has been involved in doing something for the kingdom. You've discovered your position and place of assignment. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for my brothers, for my sisters, men that have sacrificed their lives and many hours working around the clock to see this happen. They have committed their lives to serve you in this house. How I pray, Father, that you encourage them in their place of assignment, that they will feel that satisfaction that we are doing something for the kingdom. Strengthen every feeble hand today once again. In the name of Jesus. And Father, I want to pray for each one of us. As you close your eyes as well, pray for yourself. Father, may you reveal your purpose to every man. You've not assembled us here for no reason. You've assembled us for such a time like this. Lord, I pray that this man discovers your calling, your purpose in this place. And Father, I pray for greater unity in this assembly. Together as one, you've brought us together to build your house. There is a lot to be done for the kingdom. I pray for more grace that the coming years, this church will move into greater unity to serve Christ our King. And last, Lord, I lift up everybody that is feeling called to the nations. They feel that passion within them that the Lord is calling me to a nation. I pray, Father, that you bring that to fulfillment, that somebody will find his calling or her calling on the mission field to serve you in that community. We thank you, Father, for they that have already gone ahead of us. We pray for strength to face tomorrow. And Father, we pledge our allegiance to serve you in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless.